You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Thank everyone in this congregation and at this church, my home church, for all the cards and love and support that you gave me. I hadn't a chance to really thank you. I wanted to do that just for a moment, just to thank you for the cards was pouring out and I was really suffering. It was really a tough, trial to go through, but the Lord brought me through it, and I want to thank you so much for your prayers. I still have some symptoms here and there, but I'm not like I was, and I'm grateful for that. And God is bringing me through. So I'm praising the Lord all the way. But I wanted to personally thank you so very much for the outpouring of your love, of your support, of your strength, and of your prayers. I thank you so very much. It means so very much to me. Thank you so kindly. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, if it's okay, and then we'll get right into the word of God, if that's okay. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I thank you for this day, for this hour, for this moment, to worship and praise you in the house of God. Thank you, God, for calling me out of darkness into your marvelous light, for calling me out of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. Thank you so much, God, for this preaching opportunity. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, to bless every soul that's here today. Do not let them leave the way they came. Let them leave with more joy, more peace, more knowledge, more understanding. Rejoicing in you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father God. Bless me, your servant. Give me plainness of speech and clearness of mind, that you may be glorified, that your people may be blessed. Thank you for all things, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these blessings. Amen. And amen. I'd like to personally thank as well, once again, Pastor Twyman. He's just been so tremendous in my suffering when I was going through, and I would call him on the phone even though at times it got to the point where I couldn't even speak anymore. I couldn't even answer the phone or speak, and my wife was at work, and I hear the phone ringing, but I can't answer it. But I thank you, and I'd like to thank Pastor Twyman for everything that he has done for me and helping me through that very difficult time, and I pray that that I can help others as well. Thank you, Pastor Twyman. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to thank my wife, Yolanda. And sometimes it's without saying because it's automatic, but he's pastor's right. I do need to thank her publicly. Thank you so very much, Yolanda, for your strength, for your prayers, for your support, for everything that you have done. At times you had to rush me to the hospital in the middle of the night and just coming home from work when you're at work and knowing that I'm going through some things. Thank you so very much for your outpouring of love and your kindness to me. Sometimes I know you think I'm crazy, and I don't blame you because sometimes I act crazy, but thank you so very much. So much. Thank you, Yolanda. I love you. God bless you. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please. We'll go to the Word of God as we are looking to the New Testament in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation. We'll be reading only a few verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 27. Verses 24 through 27. Verse 24 starts off by saying, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who was, who is invisible. All right. Amen. May God add a special blessing to the reading of his word. And I'll take my text, my title of this text should say, from the very first verse we read, verse 24, where it says, and I like to read it again, it says, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Amen. I entitled this message today, The Man with the Made-Up Mind. The Man with the Made-Up Mind. You know, I have come to learn that one of the greatest things you can ever do is learn to say no. But not just no. No at the right time, in the right way, for the right reason. Life is made up of choices. Choices we choose. In fact, that's one of the things that life is full of, a series of choices. Choices we make that lead us in one direction or another. Yes, we make our choices. And our choices turn around and make us. I don't know about you, but I can admit down through the years, I've made some bad choices. And if you can be honest, you have too. I have a long list of things I am sorry for, and a short list of things I'm proud of. But I praise God for the Word of God. Amen, especially in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 15, where Joshua says, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. I don't know about you, but I choose the Lord for me. And every day, we make a choice to go in one direction or another. See, you can't say yes to this without saying no to that. You can't go east and west or north and south at the same time. It's one or the other. You know, it's the same in the spiritual realm. We cannot serve God and mammon. It's light or darkness, sin or righteousness, life or death, heaven or hell. Go ahead, make your choice. But before you say yes, it's good if you learn to say no. That's the message in the life of Moses as it is summarized in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Moses did some great things for God because he learned to say no. Verse 24 says, by faith, when he had grew up to be known, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, this may seem as an act of ingratitude, since it was Pharaoh's daughter who saved him. She was the one who found him in the basket, floating in the reeds along the banks of the Nile. She was the one who ended up paying his mother to be his nurse, for even though she didn't know that was his mother. She was the one who protected him when her father, the Pharaoh, had ordered all the Hebrew baby boys to be put to death. She was the one who provided for him and gave insight to his education in the Egyptian way. And oh yes, she made sure that he had the best tutors to teach him the Egyptian language, culture, and history. I'm sure she protected him from anyone who questioned his heritage. From the details we glean from Exodus chapter 2, Pharaoh's daughter seemed like a strong, wise, and compassionate woman. She took him in, raised him, and yet he refused to be known as her son. Moses was in line to become the leader of the most powerful nation on the earth at this time. Moses had everything he wanted and everything that most people would do anything to give. What did he have? He had power. But here is the irony, the irony of it all. When he got to the height of his power, he gave it all up. He refused it. He relinquished it. He let it all go. It was not an easy decision to make because he knew that no one, least of all Pharaoh's daughter, the one to whom he owed his life, would understand. It seemed foolish, as if he was throwing away his future. Because by any normal means, it didn't make any sense. But don't miss the point. Moses made a choice. You see, for many today, our problem is not that we don't make a choice. It's rather that we don't see a choice even need to be made. You see, many people today has gotten comfortable in Egypt. And it hasn't occurred to many to stop, to leave, to get out of Egypt. Many think they're supposed to live in Egypt. And if I can be honest, many have gotten comfortable, so comfortable, that they like being in Pharaoh's family. But not Moses. He was bold and fearless. Verse 25 says, he chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. It is right here where Moses took his stand of faith. It was as if Moses was saying, and I'm paraphrasing, this is where I draw the line. These Hebrew slaves that you despise, I'm one of them. But you thought you knew me, didn't you? Yes, I may look like you, dress like you, act like you, but deep down, I'm not one of you. These Hebrew slaves who seem so troublesome to you, I got news for you. I'm one of them. Because they are the followers of the true and living God. And though you hate them and despise them, they are my people. I cannot and will not stand by and turn my face while they suffer. And from now on, if you hate them, you hate me. If they suffer, I will suffer as well. If they're mistreated, I will be mistreated. What happens to them happens to me. What Moses was saying is that I will no longer live as an Egyptian, because I'm not. And my no means no. Verse 26 says, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. Surely this made no sense to his Egyptian friends. They thought Moses had lost his loving mind. So why would a man do something like this? Well, the Bible says he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses did some mental reckoning. He looked at the earthly glories and figured out that it amounted to nothing compared to the glory that would come to those who trust the Lord and those who walk by faith. Moses knew it would be better to suffer for the Lord and his people than to live in the lap of luxury in Egypt. Our text is clear. It's about the choice we make. He chose to be mistreated. It was an honor to suffer for the Lord. You know what I say to that? Wow. I wonder if it came down to the nitty-gritty. Are you willing to suffer? I heard people say, Lord, I don't mind giving you the glory or giving you the praise. Just don't let me suffer. Well, I got news for you today. Whether you suffer or not, you still have to make a choice. If you were to read the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, you'll find the people of God had to make a choice. Verse 12 and 13, God says, on that night I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on the doorpost will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. You talking about a moment of decision. It was life or death for the firstborn. Either the lamb dies or the firstborn, but the blood must be shed either way. Just being a Jew could not save the firstborn on that fatal night. It's not about your national origin that matters to God, but faith in God's appointed way of salvation. In the same way, it is not your denominational affiliation that matters to God. It doesn't have anything to do with your education, your wealth, your accomplishments, the awards you won, and how many people you know. God wants to know one thing. Do you have faith in the blood of Jesus, who can wash away all of the sins? The Bible says in St. John chapter 1, verse 29, and I like the way John the Baptist said it. John the Baptist says, he says, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood of the Lamb makes the difference. For those who reject the blood of Jesus, God has no other plan of salvation. He is the Lamb of God, the one whose blood covers every sin. But what about you today? Do you believe what God said about his son? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Will you say no to Egypt and yes to the Son of God, who loves you and gave himself for you? You need not walk, but run to the cross. You see, because he stood up and stepped down from his throne and came down through 42 generations. Virgin born in a manger, lived 33 years, did miracle after miracle after miracle to prove and show that he was the Son of God. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the thousands. But he didn't stop there. He went to the cross, where they hung him high and stretched him wide. They put nails in his hands and feet. And with his last breath, he said, "It is finished." They took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed in the grave 3 days. But early Sunday morning, somebody said early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power over sin, death, and the grave. But that's not the end of the story. The last thing you need to know, he's coming back. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.